My name's Katie Stolp, and I go to Austin High in Austin, Texas. And I'm here with Chip Ruthven, who is a wildlife biologist, and he's been a wildlife biologist for 17 years now. So, Chip, to start things off, why don't you tell us what being a wildlife biologist is all about? What do you do?
I work on the Chaparral Wildlife Management Area, which is a management area down in South Texas, and its primary purpose is a research and demonstration area, so I conduct a lot of research on the plants and animals down there.
So you research the entire ecosystem to get a better understanding of the species?
That's right. A lot of our research is directed toward getting a better understanding of the ecology of the plants and animals down there. But a lot of our research is actually focused on how management practices, such as grazing by livestock or prescribed mm-hmm. fire, how they affect the plants and animals down there.
Okay. Why do you do this research? Why is it needed?
It's, we get a better understanding of how cattle grazing or prescribed fire or mechanical brush control affects the plants and animals down there, and we can pass that information on to private landowners on how to better manage their properties.
Okay, and we were talking about you do lots of projects during the year. How many are y'all doing right now?
We generally have about 7 or 8 ongoing research projects going on.
Do you have an example of one that y'all are doing right now?
Yeah, sure do. We have one research project working with the Texas horned lizard. And it's basically looking at how our grazing program with cattle and our prescribed burning program affects the Texas horned lizard. A lot of people aren't aware that most of the ecosystems in Texas are fire-dependent ecosystems, which means fire naturally occurred in those ecosystems, and the plants and animals evolved with fire. And we utilize fire quite a bit as a habitat management tool. But we wanted to find out how prescribed fire and grazing was affecting the Texas horned lizards, and we're doing that by utilizing radio telemetry. Up here I have some of the equipment that we utilize. Here's the receiver right here and the antenna that we utilize in radio telemetry. And here is a radio transmitter that we use on the horned lizards. You can see the main body of the transmitter here. Here's the antenna sticking out the back. You can see there's a magnet attached to the transmitter, and the magnet basically deactivates the battery. So we maintain the battery life of that transmitter. Once we're ready to put that transmitter on a horned lizard, we detach the battery, I mean the magnet from the battery, and it's ready to go.
How do you put the transmitter on the lizard?
What we do is we basically build a customized backpack for each horned lizard. We got various different sizes of backpacks, and we actually will strap the backpack onto the horned lizard. There's a gal here. She's still a little cool. It's a little cool in here, so it's kind of hard for her to be moving much because it's cool. But you can see the backpack is strapped on her back. The transmitter is in the backpack. You can see the antenna here sticking out the back of the backpack. Mm-hmm. And we can follow them around, find out how big an area they live in, what kind of habitat they use. We can compare those to areas where we burn, where we don't burn, where we graze cattle, where we don't graze cattle.
Okay.
And like I said, you can turn on the receiver here. I'll see if I can put her up here, and you can hear the...
Is that chirping?
That chirping sound is a signal coming out of the transmitter being picked up by the receiver.
And the louder it is, the closer it is.
The louder it gets, the closer you are. You can turn the volume down, and whatever you can, the signal comes into the front of the antenna. So whichever direction you're pointing the antenna,
okay.
Tells you which direction to go to look for the horned lizard. We're continually finding out interesting things. I mean, that's one thing about being a research biologist. You learn something new every day,
mm-hmm.
and you see a lot of neat things every day. We had one lizard in particular. That lived in a fairly small area, went out to locate it one day and couldn't find the signal. I picked up a weak signal a couple hundred yards away, went over there, and the signal went into a prickly pear cactus clump that had a pack rat nest in there. And I dug around in the pack rat nest and I pulled out a 6.5 foot long Texas indigo snake, which had actually eaten the horned lizard with the backpack and transmitter on the back. The indigo snake, another species that we monitor down there, another one of our state threatened species. So I took it back to our check station, and overnight the indigo snake was very kind to actually regurgitate what was left of the horned lizard and the backpack. So I did
get
my...
Did the backpack still work?
It still worked. The transmitter still worked. And since those are about $85 a piece, we were happy
wow.
to get it back.
Wow.
And we even go further than that, on some of our species, I mentioned we do monitor the Texas indigo snakes, as well as the horned lizards. We also monitor our western diamondback rattlesnake population down there. And the way we do that is we inject them with a pit tag, which is a small tag.
What does that stand for, PIT?
PIT tags, it's an abbreviation for passive integrated transponder. Basically what it is it's a magnetized chip.
Mm-hmm.
There's no power to it. It'll last forever. We insert these in the abdominal cavity of the horned lizards, all the horned lizards we come across. The rattlesnakes, we insert it underneath their skin. And it reads with a barcode, kind of like a barcode scanner does at the grocery store, and it gives you a 9-digit code.
Okay.
So basically, each horned lizard that we capture, each rattlesnake we capture, they've got their own social security number, essentially. It gives a 9-digit code, just like a social security number, so we can keep track of those animals, find out how long they lived, how far they've moved, collect a lot of that kind of good data on them as well. And we're also starting to use a little radio telemetry with the diamondback rattlesnakes as well. We just implanted our first transmitter last week.
Wow, that's really interesting. What got you interested in all of this?
I've always had a natural fascination for the natural world. I've loved to hunt and fish.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything associated with the natural world. I think it pretty well sums it up. When I was about 5 years old, I can remember catching a horned lizard. Like I said, I'm kind of giving my age away here, but that was back when you could still legally capture a horned lizard. That's a threatened species now, so you can't keep them as pets. And also had caught a yellow mud turtle, and I was, like I said, about 5 years old. I took a 5-gallon aquarium, I tried to make a desert habitat in half the aquarium for the horned lizard and a swamp habitat in the other half for a turtle, and didn't turn out too well, but I think it was pretty much a done deal at that time. I was going to pursue a career in wildlife management. Being a research biologist, like I say, you learn something new every day, and you get to see neat stuff all the time out there.
If someone else is interested in becoming a wildlife biologist, what do they need to do?
Need to go and get at least a 4-year degree at a university in wildlife management or wildlife science. The type of degree varies a little bit from university to university.
Okay.
Because the field is very competitive, especially for research biologists, it's really imperative that a person go on and get a graduate degree. Get a master's degree or a PhD degree to get the experience that they need. Basically, getting a master's degree, you will actually have a research project that you will conduct in order to acquire that degree. So it gives you a lot of good experience that you'll need to pursue a career as a wildlife biologist.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chip, for coming and talking with us. Now it's on to Julie, who's going to find out what happens at a fisheries research station. Julie?